Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Happy New Year. Well, it's Happy New Year's Eve, right, for us. Right. It's already New Year in Israel, though, because they're 12 hours ahead of us. So we want to say happy. This is God's New Year. A message today, and I'm just praying that we get through it nice and smooth and everything works out great. I want to make sure, let me see, who am I? I got some people to thank because I got somebody from North, Drewery, and I'm not going to mess up your name, but I can read, is that Norma? Okay. See, Pastor Ben reads tongues here. Look at that.
I speak it. I read it.
It looks like Norma. I'm going to say that's Norma. Okay, so it's N-O-R-M-A. Norma. Okay, it says, I am grateful I found you on YouTube. May God continue to bless your ministry. A grandmother on the East Coast, Norma Drewery. And I hope I said it right. If I said it right, I'm going to feel so good about myself. Okay, praise God. And I just really want to thank her for that letter and that encouragement. I need to be encouraged, you guys.
Yes.
Feel like Wreck-It Ralph. I'm reading the internet's beautiful thing, but everybody's not nice.
Amen.
Okay, and then I have my brother Eric, who lives in Carlsbad. What's NM?
NM, Minnesota?
No.
North?
Well, we're going to find out. We're not best at all of that stuff. But anyway, it's Carlsbad. And it's,
I thought that was
North
here.
No.
Okay.
No, Carlsbad, NM.
NM.
Okay, Eric. Anyway, he sent me a Bible study that completely it's right in line with what we're teaching, mm-hmm. understanding that the 120th year is here, the generation is here. This is the end of the righteous generation.
Minnesota.
Is it?
Told you.
How can NM mean Minnesota? Okay. Well, anyway, we have this teaching, and I'm going to look through this, Eric.
Yeah,
I really appreciate.
Put your mic on.
I really appreciate you sending it. You got that? I got it right here. Somebody said something?
Yes, our members are on it.
I don't see mine.
It's down there.
Oh, wait a minute. Here it is. I got it. Okay. Hallelujah. And then I'm going to thank one more person, and I can read this. It says Richmond, Virginia. And I have, we need to see this.
That's cute.
The Peanuts playing baseball. Oh, this is from Hilda. Praise the Lord, Hilda. God bless you. What about that crazy video you sent me, Hilda? Oh, with Barack Obama and George Clooney. I'm like, ah. So, but thank you for sending it. Sometimes you can even shock Pastor Sandy, and I was thoroughly shocked. It says, dear Pastor Sandy and Pastor Ben, bless your dear hearts for putting up with thousands of us from every nation, tribe, and tongue. What a diverse family you have. What a great God we serve. It says, thank you both from our heart for putting up with us so graciously. And it's this love, peace, and grace from Hilda Page.
Amen.
Thank you, Hilda.
Hilda.
Praise God. She's okay. We have to get going. We got a great word. I'm making sure I did everything. Yes, I did. So we have a great word. Now, we're going to start off with this, okay? The title of tonight's message is The Next Great World Event. And what is the next great world event?
is the rapture for us, but for us that are not going to be in the world, it's the tribulation. So your next great world event is the tribulation, which is not going to be a pleasant experience at all, okay? You can change your direction on that easily by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord. But the tribulation is the next event that will happen in the world. It is I looked up the word tribulation in the Greek and the Hebrew, and in the Greek it means oppression and affliction, and the word is thlipis, and I looked it up in Hebrew, zar, and it means to be in distress, to be besieged, to be bound, to be pressed hard, to show hostility towards someone, to treat with enmity and hatred. So tribulation does not sound like something that I want to be a part of. But all of that is coming to the world, and it's going to be a lot worse than the coronavirus, okay? It says, because first of all, we have to understand, the removal of the church from the world before tribulation begins, okay? Consistent through all scripture that God is removing his church before the tribulation, okay? And if you haven't been following and you haven't looked at the 120th year, which is for us this evening, but Israel is already celebrating the first of Nisan. So, and now as they say, it's the beginning of the harvest season is the first of Nisan. So they do count it as a new year, but they call it an agricultural calendar, okay? And then they have their civil calendar. But in their agricultural calendar, they do recognize that Nisan first is the beginning of the agricultural year. Mm-hmm. And so, but God said 20 years, and that was Noah. And Jesus says, when the Son of Man come, it will be just as it was in the days of Noah. So welcome to the 120th year. Stay on the boat. Get ready for the rain. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 24 because I want us to look at something and explain it because someone had a little problem with it that was here on Sunday. And I want to make sure that he understands this, okay? Because, you know, some people can begin to say, hey, well, those taken are going to be treated badly. And then those left are the blessed. And I was like, no, you don't want to get left, right? Why did God choose two languages? Why did he choose Hebrew and Greek? He chose Greek, first of all, because Greek is a very precise language. Greek, you don't have to guess. Greek, instead of you guessing, it'll make out of one word 10 words so that you don't guess about what they're talking about, such as love. You know, you got four or five different words in. Make sure when you write Greek that there's no ambiguity. You're not going to be confused. It's going to tell you exactly what it's saying. Okay, so when it says in Matthew chapter 24 verse 40, and it says two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left, and two women will be grinding at the mill with. Grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. So we see here you have these two words, perilambano, which means what? To be taken to oneself, to join to oneself as a friend or a companion, perilambano. So the Greek is very precise in saying that everyone that gets taken is being taken to be a friend and a companion of Jesus Christ. Amen. Then there's the word left, which is aphame, which means to send away, to bid a going away or to depart as of a husband divorcing his wife. Okay? So someone is being sent away and the other one thing is being taken to be a friend or companion of God, okay? So there's nothing that you can be confused about that. You don't want to be left. You want to be taken, okay? Now, Thessalonians chapter 4, let's go there. Because I just want to clear this up before Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're just going to read verse 17. It says, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. So do we understand that? The people that are getting caught up, they are still alive, okay? They did not experience death. They are still alive and they're walking around and they're caught up to meet with the Lord in the air, okay? That is a rapture, because that event is going to stimulate the next great event that's going to happen on the earth, because God has promised that he's going to take the church out of the world. Okay. I don't have to vouch for God. He's good on his word. Okay. You can look it up for yourself, but he's going to take the church out of the world. Okay. And many of us who are walking around, we will be caught up with all of the other believers in the cloud. And we'll talk about my vision in a minute here. Okay. I'm just going to read 2 Esdras chapter 6, verse 25 and 26. And it says, and it shall be that whosoever remain after all that I have foretold you, shall he himself be saved, and shall see my salvation at the end of the world. What is Jesus going to do at the end of the world? He's returning, right? Now it says, and they shall see the men who were taken up, who from their birth have not tasted death, and the heart of the earth's inhabitants shall be changed and converted to a different spirit. You hear that? So he says, when he returns, they are going to see the people who were taken up and have never tasted death since their birth. I mean, since birth, it says, from their birth on the earth, they have never tasted death. He says, when I come back, everyone that is saved will get to see the men that were taken up who never experienced death. So the rapture is a real event, and it triggers the tribulation in the world, okay? Now, let me talk about Jacqueline Sierra. She sent me an email this morning, okay? And so I want to read a little bit of it. She said, I felt in my heart that I should share with you this experience that I had yesterday, March 24th, 2020, and early today. Yesterday morning, I heard a little voice that whispered, we are already in labor pain. I wanted to investigate more, although I have had a child, but I wanted to understand the difference between contractions and labor pain, birth pains, and the Lord started to download in a minute how it is that the earth is having a child and that the baby is in position. Now, she says, I called a friend to share my experience, and she told me that the medical term that is called that a baby, when a baby is in position to give birth, is called the corona position.
Oh.
She said, what? The same as the problem we're having now, the coronavirus? She says, No coincidence. She said, I don't think that was a coincidence. But the Lord gave her this dream about, or this was speaking to her that the baby is about to be born, okay? That the baby is in position to be born. You understand? Yeah. Now, it said, she says, I felt overwhelmed because of the way the Lord explained to me all the events that we are seeing on the earth relates to comparing with the woman delivering a child. As following, it says, so she has that dream about, or she has this experience that God is telling her that the baby is about to be born. The baby's in position. Then she calls a friend, and her friend says, oh, when the baby's head is turned that way and it reaches the time where it's about to be birthed, that's called the corona position.
Or when they're crowning.
Yeah, the crowning of the head, right? Yeah. So I said, well, let me look at Isaiah 66, verse 7 and 8. And we know what that says. It says, before, and talking about the nation of Israel, before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she delivered a man child. Who has heard of such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? So the scripture is saying before Israel feels any travail, any labor pains, she gives birth to a male child, okay? And this male child, she said she gives birth to a male child before she feels any labor pains. And God says, is this possible to think about it? It should have been like, Selah, think about that, okay? Because we know that travail of Israel is the labor pain, and the labor pain is the tribulation. So the scripture is saying here, before Israel goes into tribulation, she gives birth to a male son, which is the church. Then it says this. It says, who has heard of such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion, Israel, travails, soon as Israel does have pains, it says, she brought forth her own children. So she first brings forth a male child, but then after tribulation, she brings forth her own children. This is the plan of God, okay? That the church be born out of the world first, okay? And then after the church is born out of the world, then God will rescue Israel. And then as he rescues Israel, then he will give birth to his own children, which is the nation of Israel, okay? So what God told you was absolutely in accordance with Isaiah 66, 7 and 8. Now it's also in accordance with Revelation chapter 12, and I'll tell you why. And I'm still praying for Scotty Clark because I'm always hoping that he comes back to the Lord. So in Revelation chapter 12, this is what I want to read. It says, the dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth. And that's Revelation chapter 12. And we'll start at verse 4. It says, the tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might destroy her child. The moment it was born, she gave birth to a son, a male child. You hear that? A male child who will rule over the nations with an iron scepter. Okay? Now, someone may say, oh, they're talking about Jesus. Hold up. Okay? And it says, and her child was raptured up to God and to his throne. Now, this is in line with Isaiah that say that Israel is going to have a male child. Okay? But now it doesn't say, when you go to Acts, it says that Jesus Christ stood before them and he ascended up into heaven. Harpazo is used here in Revelation. Harpazo means to be snatched up, and rapture means to be forcibly taken up. Jesus Christ was not snatched up or forcibly taken up. It said he ascended. So this child here that is being birthed is, it says, was snatched up to the throne. And if you read Revelation chapter 4, he says, come up here. And he says, immediately I was in heaven and I saw a throne standing before me. And then I saw seven candlesticks standing on a sea of glass. And the candlesticks stand for who? The seven churches. So he's snatching us up, okay? And he's snatching us up because we are the child that Israel is giving birth to. So when she gave me that conversation that she had with God, saying that the child is in the corona position or in the crown of the head is ready to give birth, right? That's where the church is now.
Wow.
Now, I say that because when she gave me this, I had just had a dream. I told you I had a tribulation dream, okay? And my tribulation dream was, I think, two nights ago. And I was like, Drew, I had a tribulation dream. And a tribulation dream, I haven't had one like that since we had a van, Pastor Ben.
Wow.
And so that's like 2009, 2010. Because the one I had was so bad.
You asked him that.
I asked God, I don't need to see that, you know?
Yeah.
But in this dream, he didn't show it to me as vivid, but there were military people, like with black army military things on, and they were marching the streets, right? And they were being cruel to people, and they grabbed this young girl and they threw her into like this little cubby hole, like I guess it was a store, and then they were just being mean to her, right? And then she was begging, like, please don't do this to me, but they were still just being violent to her. And then I woke up and I was like, wow, okay. I was like, I haven't had one of those dreams in a long time. The next morning, Drea, she leaves early, so I'm there. And then, so the Lord gives me another vision. Now, check this out. If you love Jesus, you have to hear this vision, because this was like the best vision I've ever had as a born-again Christian. Better than any rapture dream. This was the best. Anyway, we're all gathered in heaven, right? And everybody is singing. And there are people on a higher level, and they're the singers. Some of them are angels that are singing, and some of them were humans that are singing. People were playing instruments. Some angels were playing instruments, and some people were playing instruments. And all of us, which is like, I'm looking like a sea of people that way, but we're all in one accord, and we're all singing with the band. And we're just like, just praising, I guess we're praising God. And it was like, I was like, wow, you know? And then the music got to a height, and then we all yelled hallelujah, and then it got quiet, and the stars burst open like a 4th of July. And they were just like lights all over the place, like 4th of July, but it was just like going off and going off everywhere. And for the first time, I looked at everybody, and everybody was just laughing and screaming and saying hallelujah. And some people were crying like for joy, right? And I looked down and I thought to myself before I came out of it, is this forever? I thought to myself, is this forever? Like, this is so good. But it's the first time I realized this is eternity. This is our eternity. And so God gave me that vision after he gave me the first, but he's trying to show me that the world is on the precipice of the tribulation and the church is on the precipice of eternal life and great joy, right? And they're both about to happen, and we have to understand we're in the 120th year.
Wow.
So I'm trying to get people to understand, okay, you're in the 120th year. It's going to start raining any moment, okay? Maybe it'll going to be on Passover. Maybe it's going to be the second month on the 17th day. Maybe it's going to be on Pentecost. But you are in the 120th year, and the next great event that's going to occur on the earth is tribulation. And what is tribulation? Affliction, oppression, hardship, hatred, hostility towards you. So the world is about to experience something that they don't really, because we haven't been through anything. People can say, oh, we had tough times here, but you haven't been in a situation other than this corona thing. You haven't been in a situation where the whole earth is being controlled by people that don't like you.
Amen.
And we're not getting hatred. Nobody's pulling us out of the building and beating us up. In the dream God gave me, those military people were very evil and very vicious toward that young girl. So you have to understand we're right here at the door of it, okay? Now, so Jacqueline, thank you for that experience that you had with God. Thank you for sharing it with me. Now we're going to go. Oh, I wanted to tell you guys about this. If you sent this out, there's a girl named Dana Ashley who has a YouTube, and it's about Wuhan, and it gives information about the cruise ship. A lot of people didn't know there was 5G on the cruise ship. That's why a lot of people got sick. And then, of course, 5G in Italy. So she gives a lot of great information about 5G, 60 gigahertz, and why the whole world should be very afraid, because it is something that really collapses the body. Okay? Okay, and this, now we're going to do something, and I'm going to be doing some reading, pray that I read well. I've been practicing so that I read well, okay? Now, if you'd never read the book of Esdras, I was right in the middle of reading Esdras on Sunday when someone said they had a question about it. I said, you know, give me some time because I've been reading it right now. It's like something I've been reading. Okay, now, I want you to listen to what I'm about to read to you, because it pertains to you and me as born again Christians, okay? It pertains to you people who don't know Jesus, you know, but you're lukewarm in Jesus. This pertains to you too, because I want you to understand how God feels about sinners and righteous people, okay? There's a reason why we're going to joy and you're going to torment, what they say, right? Because God sees the righteous people as being something very precious. Okay. Now, here it says, now I want you to understand what's going on here. Esdras is really Greek for Ezra, okay? It's the prophet Ezra. Is this book, somebody say, someone said last Sunday, I don't think it's inspired by God. It is 100% inspired by God. I have to study the whole thing again for like the fifth or sixth time to see everything the way God put it together, okay? And it gives you the same scenario as the book of Revelation, and is giving you the same scenarios as the scriptures, okay? So let's look, let me just read it, and hopefully you guys can understand what I'm saying. Now, what the angel Uriel comes to Ezra, and he wants to explain to Ezra some things, because Ezra's been complaining about Israel's being in bondage to their enemies, right? So they begin to talk about the righteous and unrighteous. And then in this scripture, it says, this is what he says. The righteous, he says, therefore, endure difficult times. You understand? Righteous people on earth, we endure difficult times. Yes. But we have the hope of eternal life, right? but they're hoping for easier ones. But those who have done wickedly have suffered difficult circumstances and will not see easier one, he's telling the angel. Now, you know what he's trying to do there? He wants the angel to be more understanding of all people so that he understands that we're all human. We've all broken the law, you know what I mean? Even though we've now come under obedience and we're living for you now, but let's not forget about the wicked people because they're still human. He's trying to explain this to the angel. And the angel says to him this. He says, and the angel said to him, "You are not a better judge than God or wiser than the Most High. Let many perish who are now living, rather than that the law of God, which is set before them, be disregarded. God strictly commanded those who came into the world, when they came, what they should do to live, and what they should observe to avoid punishment. Nevertheless, they were not obedient and spoke against him. They devised for themselves vain thoughts and proposed to themselves wicked frauds. They even said that the Most High does not exist. They ignored his ways. They scorned his law. They denied his covenant. They have been unfaithful in his statutes and have not performed his works. Therefore, Ezra, empty things are for the empty, and full things are for the full." Okay? So he's letting him know, look, I know you're pleading for unbelievers, but the angel's letting him know, look, it for God is better that they be punished and go into torment than for them to live and disregard God's law.
Yes.
Okay? Because he's trying to explain to him, you're not a better judge than God. Because don't let society change you to start saying love is love. I know you're gay, but you still love that person. It's an abomination. It's wickedness. It's disobedience, which God says is witchcraft. So remember who we're dealing with when it comes to sin, because God hates sin. Okay? And you've got to think of it that way. You would, if you said some drug dealer sold your mom crack and she died from that crack, you would hate drug dealers and you would hate crack, right?
Yes.
Sin killed Jesus, God's son. You understand?
Yes.
So God hates it. You understand? The reason his son had to experience death was because of sin. Okay, let's continue. Now, and here's number two. I think I got five of them that the Lord wanted me to read. Listen to this. It says, when judgment arrives, the Most High shall be revealed upon the seat of judgment, and mercy and grace will disappear. So at judgment, he's saying mercy and grace has no place in judgment for God, okay? Now, in the lexicon, it interpreted the word grace as patience.
Mm-hmm.
And it says it is unmerited patience. It doesn't say it's unmerited favor. It says you're saved by unmerited patience. And that made more sense to me than grace, because people get grace confused. God is saying you've been saved by unmerited patience. He doesn't have to be patient with you, but because you have accepted his son, Jesus Christ, he's going to let you grow up spiritually with mercy and patience. Okay? And so if you understand that, you'll understand that you're in the process of growth And God is allowing you the opportunity to continue your growth. That's why he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's why he says, make every effort to live holy lives. You know what I mean? So because he's and he gave us the Holy Spirit, which Romans says the Spirit is to transform us into the image of Christ. So the transformation process is taking place as we read our word, as we study, as we pray, as we surround ourselves with other people who love God. OK, and the transformation is being taken place, and you have been saved by patience,
yes.
By God's favor. Yes. But the lexicon Greek interpreted as patience. Matter of fact, it says compassion shall pass away and patience shall be withdrawn. Now, when Noah left, that was God was done with his patience.
Yeah.
Because he said, my spirit shall not always dwell with men, but their years. No, he doesn't say not dwell. He said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, but their years shall be 120 years. Meaning that God is saying he's not going to be patient with men forever. He's not going to strive. The word strive means I'm not going to contend for your affections forever. Okay, I'm not going to fight for you. I'm not going to judge between you. I'm not going to fight for your affections and for your ability to live for me. I'm not going to do this forever. He's not going to strive forever. So he's saying, look, that day is going to come to an end. This is why Noah rest backwards is grace. Because grace ended at the 120 years when the boat went up. It was now God said, I'm done. The patience is over.
Right.
Okay. Let's continue. Okay. Here it says, and now I see that the world to come will bring delight to few, but torment to many. For an evil heart has grown up in us, which has alienated us from God and has brought us into corruption and the way of death, and has shown us the path of perdition and removed us far from life. And that not just a few of us, but almost everyone who has been created. So sin has affected the whole world. But even Jesus says, very few are saved. But why are very few saved? We're going to find out as we continue reading this. Okay? But he says this in chapter 6, and where we're in verse chapter 6, verse 50. He says, because of this, God Most High has created two worlds, not one. So God created two eternities, not just one, okay? He's not talking about planets. He's saying God has two worlds that he has created. Those two worlds are in eternity, okay? It's the kingdom of God or it's Hades. But God says, because of man's heart, I created two worlds, okay? Now, let's continue. Here we go. It says, if you had just said, oh, this is what he wanted to ask him. He says, for this reason, God has created two worlds. For whereas you have said that the righteous are not but few, while the ungodly are many, here is the explanation of why God is only interested in righteous people. He asked him this question. If you just had a few precious stones, will you add to them lead and clay to make them bigger? That's the question. If you had a diamond, would you say, I'm going to add to this diamond pl- plastic and clay so I can make this diamond bigger.
No.
Would you do that?
No.
Why? Because it's a precious thing, right? This is what God is trying to explain to Ezra. Ezra wants to get everybody saved. Ezra wants God to have mercy, but God is like, I'm not interested in clay. I'm not interested in lead. I'm only interested in gold. And I will not add clay and lead to my gold so that I can make it bigger. You understand? He's trying to explain to him this. So he says, so also will be the judgment which I have promised. For I will rejoice over the few who shall be saved, because it is they who have made my glory, and prevailed now. And through them my name has been honored. And I will not give over the multitude of those who perish. And I will not grieve over the multitude of those who perish. For it is they who are now like a mist and similar to a flame and smoke. They are set on fire and burn hot and are extinguished.
Wow.
So God is making his personality known, that he's interested in righteous people because we are precious. Why are we precious? Because you accepted what his son, Jesus Christ, did on the cross. And not only did you accept it, this moment of grace and patience that he's given you in your life, not only have you accepted it, you're growing in it. You're not taking his grace lightly. You understand? You're growing in it. Let me read this from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. It says, how much more severely do you think that someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as ungodly the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? So don't insult God's patience with you.
Amen.
It's grace, it's unmerited favor. God is being patient with us because he has given us unmerited favor because of what his son did on the cross. But don't insult grace by continuing in sin, okay? Because this is what I'm trying to explain to you, because once tribulation starts, because listen, taken is taken to be as a bride or a companion, right? A friend and a companion. Left is divorce. So when God first showed me that separation, he wanted me to know that there's nobody who is not a Christian that will be able to say they got left.
Right.
Because by definition, if you got left, that means you were invited.
Right.
And the world who has not accepted Christ has never taken the invitation, so they're not really even invited. So when God takes, he's taking who? Because every story is about 10 virgins, all of them knew Christ. Mm-hmm. 10 were ready, and I mean, 5 were ready and 5 weren't. This is not a story about 5 people who didn't know who the bridegroom was and the other 5 who knew who the bridegroom was. This is all about 10 people who knew who the bridegroom were. 5 were doing it right and 5 were not, okay? So understand what he's saying. Even when he talks about, what's the other one? His master going away for a long time. And when his master left, he said he began to act up and do all kinds of things. And then he said, the Lord will come back at a time he does not expect. It's not that he doesn't know his master. He just figured his master went away and it's taking a long time. I can do whatever I want. You understand? All the stories that are in scripture that people get missed the rapture have to do with people who knew Christ, not people who didn't know him. Because you, by definition, if you don't know Jesus, you're not getting left.
Right.
You'll still be here. But don't say you got left. Just say, I never took the invitation. They're gone, but I don't feel left because I never took the invitation, so I was never really invited. But if you knew Christ and you were living a lukewarm lifestyle and you just felt like I can insult the grace of God, then now you're saying, okay, I'm putting myself in a position for tribulation. Because I can't explain to you tribulation. You'd have to be in that dream that I just had and experience what I saw, or experience the other dream that I had when we had the van, Pastor Van.
Yeah.
And the military people were walking over and stepping on top of people and shooting people as if they were like just animals, you know? And it was just no mercy at all. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. You're entering into a time where there is not laws like now, where they're, we don't want to just beat you up for no reason. It's not going to be like that in the tribulation, okay? So understand what you're moving into and accept Jesus Christ. Okay.
15.
Okay. Here we go. It says, this is the fourth one he asked me to read. He said, he answered me and said, when the Most High made the world, Adam, and all who have come from him, he first prepared judgment and the things that pertain to judgment. And now understand from your own words, Ezra, for you said that the mind grows up with you. For this reason, therefore, those who dwell on earth shall be tormented, because though they had understanding, they committed iniquity. And though they received the commandment, they did not keep them. And though they obtained the law, they dwelt unfaithfully with what they received. Did we receive Christ?
Yes.
Dwell faithfully with what you receive. Do not trample over this grace, because it's unmerited. You didn't do anything to get it. And God says, don't insult it. Don't insult this grace. Okay? The Lord was showing me something. I was sitting there and the Lord said, breathe in. And I did like this. And the Lord said, what is that? And I said, air. And he said, no, that's opportunity. Because if you still got breath in your lungs, you can still repent. And no matter what situation you're in, if you still got breath in your lung, you can still return to Christ. You can still repent. Repentance is a gift from God. Angels can't repent. The only reason we got this gift is because Jesus Christ provided it for us. We can get off course and then get back on course with a simple repentance. Okay? So be thankful for the fact that God has given us repentance. Okay? It says, what then will they have to say at judgment, or how will they answer in the last day? For how long the time is that the Most High has been patient with those who inhabit the world, and not for their sake, but because of the times which he has foreordained. So God has a date and a time for judgment, and he says he's being patient with us. He's being patient with us, hoping that what? We get it right. Hoping that, don't you love when somebody that walked away from Christ says, hey man, I'm coming back to the Lord. Yes. I gave my life back.
Yes.
Because it's a beautiful thing, because now they're reconnected with God. They've returned to the Lord, right?
Yes.
This is a beautiful thing. So now, how much time we got, Pastor Ben?
10 minutes.
Watch this 10 minutes. This is incredible. Now he says, he answered me and said, he asked Ezra, he said, Ezra, he said to the angel Uriel, could you answer me this question? When we die, do we go straight to punishment? Do we go straight to punishment, or will we wait in the grave for our punishment? So he understood Ezra doesn't have understanding of eternity, so he gives it to him. He answered me and said, I will show you that also, but do not associate yourself with those who have scorned my law, nor number yourself among those who will be tormented. For you have a treasure of works laid up with the Most High, but it will not be shown to you until the last day. Now concerning death, the teaching is, when the decisive decree goes forth from God that a man shall die, as the spirit leaves the body to return again to him who gave it, first of all, it adores the glory of the Most High. So when a person dies, even in your sin, when you die, you go, oh my God, it's God, it's eternity. Rather you're staying or you're getting cast down, you're going to see the glory of God.
Yeah.
That's why further in this scripture, it says after death, the word unbelief disappears like smoke because it doesn't exist anymore. Okay? Then it says, and if, it says, first of all, he adores the Most High. And if it is one of those who have shown scorn or disrespect and have not kept the way of the Most High and who have despised the law and who have hated those who feared God, such spirit shall enter into habitation, but shall immediately wander in torment, grieving, sad in seven ways. First, because he disrespected the law of God. Second, because they cannot now make a sincere repentance. You hear that? Third, how many people will start saying I'm sorry after? The third way, they shall see rewards laid up for those who trusted in the covenant of God. So they get to see our blessings. They go by and go, who are those mansions for?
Yep.
Oh, those for the righteous people. You're not headed this way.
Oh, man.
So it says they get to see the reward of the righteous. That's the third way they enter into hell. And it said, fourth way, they shall consider the torment laid up for themselves for the last day. Fifth way, they shall see how the habitation of others are guarded by angels in profound silence. Sixth way, they shall see some of them, they shall see how some of them will pass over into torment. Seventh way, which is the worst than all, the way that have been mentioned, because they shall utterly waste away in confusion and be consumed with shame and shall wither with fear and seeing the glory of the Most High before whom they have sinned while they were alive, and before whom they are to be judged in the last day. Now, this is the order of those who have kept the way of God, when they shall be separated from their mortal bodies. During the time they have lived on earth, they laboriously served God and withstood danger on every hour that they might keep the law of the lawgiver perfectly. Therefore, this is the teaching concerning them, the righteous. First of all, they shall see with great joy the glory of him who received them, for they shall have rest in seven orders. The first order is because they have strived with great effort to overcome evil thoughts, which was formed within them, that it might not lead them astray from life into death. So first of all, you realize how hard it was. You know, it's not easy being a Christian. That's why I say, when the scripture says, make every effort to live godly, we're making every effort to live godly.
Yes.
Do you want to come to the party? No, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to Bible study. Do you want to smoke this? No, I'm going to Bible study. No, do you want to do this? No, I'm going to church. I'm going to curse you out, but I'm not going to curse you out. I'm going to bless you and pray for you. Why? Because we're making every effort to be conformed into the image of Christ.
Yes.
So it says this. The second way they see the perplexity in which the souls of the ungodly wander and the punishment that awaits them. So the godly people get to see, you get to pass hell. They get to pass heaven, and you get to see what they're about to go through.
Yep.
Now, if you weren't shouting before this moment, this is the moment you start doing that apostolic dance, right? Because now you're going, I missed that.
Mm.
Yes, you missed that because of your effort and because you did not insult the grace of God, but you lived what you spoke. Third, the third order, they see the witnesses which he who formed them bear concerning them. And while they were alive, they kept the law which was given to them in trust. Fourth order, they understood the rest which they now enjoy being gathered into the chambers and guarded by angels in profound silence, and the glory which awaits them in the last day. Fifth order, they rejoice that they have now escaped what is corruptible and have inherited what is to come. And besides, they see the strait and toil from which they have been delivered from, and the spacious liberty which they are to receive in joy in immortality. Sixth order, when it is shown to them how their faces is to shine like suns and how they are to be made like the light of the stars, being incorruptible from then on. Seventh order, which is the greatest of them all, that have been mentioned, because they shall rejoice with boldness and shall be confident without confusion and shall be glad without fear. And they hasten to behold the face of him who they served in life and from whom they are to receive their reward when glorified. This is the order of the soul of the righteous. Henceforth is announced, and the soul of the unrighteous to the way of torment, which those who would not give heed shall suffer thereafter. Praise God.
Amen.
Am I out of time, Pastor Ben?
For the most part, yeah.
Okay. Now, they shall have freedom for 7 days. So, yeah, the only other scripture there was concerning unbelief. It's hard to explain eternal life to people who haven't had the opportunity to experience it. I thank God that for my experience in seeing my friend in heaven. I thank God for that. I thank God for meeting Daniel, who told me about his experience when he got shot and died and went into hell. That's the closest that we can get to what we're going to see, because God says our imaginations cannot even follow what God, even that wonderful vision that the Lord gave me the other day. I mean, and the Lord told me in this, and he said, I said, we're going to have a great time. And immediately I would stop, and he said, there's no time here. You don't have a great time. There are moments of joy. So you'll have a great moment. You'll move on to other moments, but all your moments are in eternity. Okay? So the Lord would explain it to me. There's no time there. It's only in eternity. Okay? Now, for us that love God and walk with him and wake up thrilled to get into our word, thrilled to thank God for what he's done for us. For those who are going through hard times, but you still get up and say, thank God anyway. For all of the people that are following Christ, the Lord says you are precious as a diamond in his hand. And pray for those who are not saved, but don't think that God is going to, in mercy or in sorrow, say, I'm going to add unbelievers to the kingdom because you were related to them or because you knew them. He says, look, the heart is the problem. If you want to serve God, you can serve God. If you want to disrespect the grace that has been given to you, you can do it. But the Lord said he's not going to be sorrowful over those that are lost, because he said it would be better for them to be lost than to disrespect God's grace and his law and his way of life, okay? And understand, you can't let this into the kingdom, because one of these was in the kingdom before. And because that one person was in the kingdom, you have a third of the angels thrown down. You have all the sin in the world that is here because of one disobedient sinner. And then you have one sin in the earth that caused all of this.
Yes.
So God is not going to deal with sin in a righteous place.
Amen.
The time is upon us. This is the 120th year. The rains are about to come down. The boat is finished.
Yes.
The animals are on. We're just waiting for God to say, close the door, and for the rain to stop. Yes. Praise God. Amen.
Yeah.
All right. Hallelujah.